Welcome to the Marxism interview series. Produced for Spirit of Contradiction and the Freenode Marxism channel by Modulus. Thank you for your time, and we hope you enjoy hearing other Marxists around the world. Remember, the point, however, is to change it. Hello, this is Modulus speaking.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yes, you sound all right. Okay, so this is the first Marxism interview that we conduct. Hopefully it's not the last, so we shall see what comes of it. So to begin with, I would like to know something more about yourself. So what can you tell us?
Well, I don't know what there really is to tell. I live in Canada. Mm-hmm. Work in an automotive factory. I'm a member of the Communist Party of Canada, and I'm a Marxist-Leninist.
Right. What? How old are you, roughly?
I am 19.
And how long have you been involved in left politics?
First got in touch with the YCL when I was 14 years old.
Right, so quite young.
Yeah.
So, how would you describe yourself politically? I mean, you're a Marxist-Leninist, but what does that mean to you?
To me that means identifying more with the history of the USSR. I mean, I find a lot of other organizations and such tend to glaze over that, and that was the big thing for me. It's like, hey, look at what they've accomplished here. Like, I don't want to ignore that.
Right. So you would say the Soviet experience is a positive thing, and it's something that you want to claim?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you come to left politics? What happened for you to become radicalized, as they say?
Well, it was kind of an interesting series of events. At the time, I came out to my family, and they kicked me out of my house, so it was like, didn't have so much of a place to go to.
Right.
And so I was kind of living on the street at the time, and as a result, I was like really desperate to reach out to anything that offered something of a solution.
Right.
And I just sort of randomly happened to meet a man named Drew Garvey, who's the current head of the YCL here in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of got me into this by saying, hey, look, you know, there are reasons why this is happening, like...
Yeah, like capitalism and so on?
Yeah, like, it was sort of like, hey, here's this reason why, you know, you're experiencing this because of an actual problem. It's not just everyone's like, oh, you're just poor, fuck you.
So how much of your involvement in the left is due to that, and... how much would you say it's more to do with your experiences as a worker?
How much of it's due to my experience of homelessness and how much of it's due to my experiences as a worker? I think
It's
a decent combination of the two. I mean, I didn't really understand Marxism too well until I entered the workforce.
Right.
And sort of like, you know, I was like a walking case study. Like, whenever I'm reading Marx, I'd just be like, oh, hey, look, I know these things. This happens to me.
So you sort of recognize things in your own experience that you had been told about.
What was that?
You recognized things in your own experience that you had been told about.
Yeah, like, I think it was definitely, like, the earlier crisis that I was in that brought me more over to Marxism, that sort
right.
of, like, introduced me to it. But, like, my theoretical grounding in it definitely resulted from me actually being a worker, so.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, if I may ask about this, as you said, you came out So what's your experience of, you know, being queer and participating in left politics? Do you think the left is reasonably tolerant and, you know, tolerant is perhaps the wrong word, accepting?
Well, like, there's definitely a lot of heterosexism in the left, like, in socialist movement.
Mm-hmm.
I find my organization to be quite accommodating. If anything, the only complaint I would have is that there's not enough queer members. It seems like quite often I'm always the only one. But I'm not sure if that's just a demographic consequence or just some failure with our ability to reach out to that community. But there's definitely issues in left-wing organizations with heterosexism.
Right.
That I've encountered personally, like try being out in a trade union.
I see. So it's more difficult in the unions than in parties as such.
You know, unions are working class organizations, and the working class isn't exactly the best environment for any heterosexism to manifest itself. So sometimes you get situations like that where you have people who, you know, they hold the heterosexist opinions in unions, and you have to try and work with that.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that? Because obviously, if you refuse to work with them, you would have real trouble being able to function in unions, right?
Well, for the most part, it depends. Like, right now, I'm not out at work just because I know this would severely impact things.
Right.
So I don't really have the option to be.
Yeah.
In previous environments where I've been there for some time, I was out at a workplace I was at before. I used to work in a coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
and I was out there just because everyone knew me there, so it didn't really matter so much. So it was a small enough workplace that you could have that conversation with everyone and be like, hey, I'm queer, this means this. And if someone said something, you could be like, hey, that's not cool, or something like that. But in a large workplace like where I work now, that's really, really difficult. You're just bound to end up in situations where that's going to harm you.
Yeah. So do you think that there's some kind of special difficulty in attracting queer people to the movement, or is it just a matter of, you know, inertia and the party lagging somewhat in being able to appeal to queer people?
See, I'm not so sure. Like, I feel like we don't do enough outreach to the queer community as it is. Like, we don't really try to involve ourselves in those struggles so much.
Right.
Like, we show up at Toronto Pride or whatever once a year, and then, you know, that's the last time we're ever in the village. So it's like, I think socialist organizations really need to be involving themselves on the ground struggles within queer communities.
So, my understanding is that you are not entirely white, racially speaking.
Yeah.
So, what can you tell us about that side of things? Have you personally experienced racism? Not so much on the left, I imagine, but in life in general?
Well, like, I mean, this is the interesting thing about racialization. It means different things, different places.
Right.
Here in the South, like, most people don't really assume anything. They're just kind of be like, hey, are you like Métis, which is like half white, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And most times, like, well, yeah. And they'd be like, oh, like, they don't really, like, most people in the South haven't ever met Métis people, so that really doesn't mean anything to them. But if you head up north, it's like this very clear distinction that you're Métis. That means you're like some poor criminal who's gonna like corner you in an alleyway and steal your shit or whatever. Like,
yeah.
They just, like, Métis is poor in the north, so they just assume that.
Right.
I've experienced that whenever I go up there.
So how would you say Canada is in terms of racism? Is it a racist society, or is it reasonably non-racist these days?
Canada is a very racist society in a way that is very strange. I mean, when most people think of racism, they think of, like, you know, black community or the Arab community or whatever. Well, those communities are quite tiny in our country. You know, the racism here manifests itself mainly towards the Aboriginal communities, and
Right.
it manifests itself in that way very heavily.
I see. So, how do you like the, changing a bit the topic, how do you like the Marxism channel?
It's pretty cool. It's like the most active channel on the subject there is, so there seems to be good people there.
Right. And do you have any position on our sort of sibling website, Spirit of Contradiction?
I don't read Spirit of Contradiction enough, really.
Yeah.
I find the like lengthy theoretical articles to be kind of dry, but
yeah,
that's me. I can't really read that.
It is a bit, yeah, it is a bit that way, isn't it? We tend to have a lot of theory.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it definitely doesn't appeal to everyone, I would say.
Yeah.
So how did you find out about Marxism? Do you remember how? About the channel, that is. Not about the ideology.
Yeah. Ages and ages ago, I was Googling around, and I think I just like Googled Marxism chat or whatever because I was bored,
yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if there's a place where people can talk about this. And I found it, and I was like, oh, okay, this works, and joined through just some web chat app or something like that. I don't remember what app, but then eventually I just like downloaded an IRC client and figured it all out.
So there you came.
Yep.
So regarding that, do you think that, you know, are there any criticisms about the channel, any changes you wish that were done, anything that you think we are doing wrong as the administration of the channel?
Should bring back Demobot. That would be
awesome. That's a difficult one because it requires a lot of coding.
But, yeah, I can't contribute to that. So.
Yeah, we will bear it in mind, but can't really promise.
We need our revolutionary tribunals back.
That was an interesting experience, let's say. For those who went around or do not participate in Marxism, Demobot is an attempt to introduce democracy to the chat channel, which basically allows the users to choose what users will be banned or quieted in the channel. And
we
ran it for a while, and it went a bit wild.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
All right, so coming to general politics, you describe yourself as an ML, Marxist-Leninist. What makes you choose this position of Leninism, or perhaps you didn't quite choose it, but you think it's the only one that fits you?
Well, like, it's not like I researched all the various tendencies and then said, this is the one that fits me best. I just, at the time, I met an organization that was doing real important work, and they happened to be Marxist-Leninist, so I joined it. To me, that's what's important. I'm not so concerned whatever the fucking lineage back to Marx is of an organization. I just wanted to be in an organization that was actually accomplishing things and doing things. And but as to theory, I do find that Lenin offers good theory sometimes on things like on like theories of the state and stuff, on imperialism. These are things that I think Lenin got right when reading them after the fact.
Yeah.
But I didn't like choose it per se.
Right, so it's more that you chose an organization and you grew into the theory over time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And were you ever attracted by anarchism?
What was that?
Were you ever attracted by anarchism?
No, I can't say I have. I see this weird tendency in the left to like switch between tendencies a lot, and I never had that. I mean, I was just like, I met an organization, they were doing good work, and I've been a member ever since.
Right.
I've never been tempted by anarchism, and any time I've tried to work with anarchists, they've given me a negative reason to do so.
So your experience with anarchists isn't very good?
No. Whenever I try to do things with anarchists, they seem to be content to make everything implode.
Right. So not really possible to work with them all that successfully. Do you think it's general thing with anarchists, or you had bad luck, or?
No, it's like there are definitely people even within the anarchist community that I seem to be able to organize with. It's
Right.
just anarchists as a whole seem determined to focus on things that don't matter at all. Like when we're talking, you're talking about a mass movement or something, you're talking about like organizing a protest, like all they want to do is talk about like the structure of things.
Right. So very process oriented and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
do you think that you will see a transition to socialism in your lifetime?
Well, I'm not Nostradamus, so I don't know. But
Unfortunately.
yes, I would like to think so. I at least think it is possible. Whether it will happen, I am not so sure.
Right. Do you think it's more likely to occur in the developed world or in the developing world first?
I'm of the opinion right now that I think a revolution is more possible in some of the developed countries than in the developing countries. I think we're really at a crisis state in the first world that isn't going away.
Right. So you're not a third worldist.
No, I'm a globalist.
And how do you see this transition? Do you think that it is possible to use the democratic tools and legal means of transition that we have in the bourgeois state, or are we bound to a bitter and violent struggle?
I wouldn't say that I think it's impossible to have a democratic transition using bourgeois institutions. I think it's unlikely, but it's, I believe Jay said something to the effect of you can't really, like, I don't remember what the direct quote was, but he said something pretty much to the effect of you should try the democratic way first, and then when that fails, pick up your guns.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we should, like, in first world countries, I don't really see it as so much possible. Like, I don't, like, the RCP here in Canada, their whole policy is basically just, well, we'll get enough members and then take to the hills with rifles, and that'll be the revolution. Well, I don't think that's going to be the way to do things. I
That
think,
seems a bit of a crazy plan.
yeah, we're just going to have to at least try the democratic institution first, and when that fails upon us, then we will have the legitimacy to organize a violent revolution, I think. So I think it's a matter of what we should try first.
Right. It's a bit of a difficult question, and I'm sure that, or at least I doubt that you have a definitive solution, but since a lot of people, including myself, have been thinking about this one, maybe you can give us some ideas. What do you think about how are we going to manage to deal with the security state, surveillance, police powers, all that kind of thing?
Well, I'm not exactly much of a techie, so I don't really know too much about this sort of thing. But I think that people sort of overestimate the degree to which this is like an increasing trend. This has always been an issue that's been at hand.
Right.
So it's not like you can't both hide from the bourgeois state and be open within the proletariat. You can't do both.
Right. So your view is that we should be transparent or that we should be hiding?
We should be transparent. I mean, it's unavoidable if we want to actually be organizing.
Right. And what do you think about the role of the United States, since you live so near it?
Bastards. Yeah, if I look out over the water, I can see the United States. So, yeah, I'm pretty close to it.
Like Sarah
And,
Palin in Russia.
yeah, I'm the Canadian Sarah Palin. The role of the United States is very clearly one of they've clearly got some global hegemony going on over the capitalist system, especially here in my country. The degree to which the United States owns everything is insane, and this is, I don't know, this is something that we're very concerned with, because it's having really adverse effects on our society, even within capitalism. So, I'm a Leninist, so we talk about imperialism, and as the CBC, we talk about Canada as a country that is subject to imperialism by the United States, since we're pretty much just an outpost for them.
Right. So, is there any hope for them, do you think? I mean, obviously, right now they are a very negative influence on socialism everywhere. Yeah. But do you think that they could perhaps lead the revolution, since they are experiencing their own crisis as well?
The Americans?
Yeah.
The Americans lead a revolution. A revolution in Yankee.
It sounds unlikely, doesn't it? But
yes, it does. It sounds very unlikely to me. I am not so sure, though, since there are definitely people within the United States that are experiencing the crisis at hand to a degree that's greater, certainly, than many other first world countries. I don't think that the Yankee working class would really be the one to lead a revolution in this moment, but I wouldn't give it a non-zero. I would give it a non-zero possibility.
Right. So could you tell us something about the work your political formation does? Is it electoralist? Does it have a foothold in the unions? What kind of things does it do?
Well, my organization has something of a foothold in the unions. Yes, I won't go into specifics, but we do have some involvement in the OFL in Ontario and the BC Fed in BC and the Centrale des Syndicats Nationaux in Quebec. Other than outside of the union movement, what we do is, like, personally, I'm a member of the YCL, which is the youth league, and they're very heavily involved in the Canadian Federation of Students, mm-hmm. which is the main student union in English Canada. We were also very active within ASSE in Quebec, which is it's one of the three student unions there. Outside of work in other organizations, we do a lot of solidarity work with the Latin American nations like Cuba, Venezuela, stuff like that. We fund a lot of projects and stuff that involve a lot of exchange between Canada and Cuba. We've been personally involved in a lot of the First Nations disputes, like the Caledonia dispute that's been going on near Oswego, and the current crisis that's going on in New Brunswick with the Mi'kmaq.
Is that the issue about fracking, or is it something else?
No, it's the issue with fracking.
Yeah. All right, so obviously the party is doing work in different... In many different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that identity issues, let us say, you know, things like sexual or gender orientation or expression, race, nationality, do you think these things should have a more central place, or that they detract from the focus of class politics?
They certainly don't detract. I mean, these divisions are things created by class, like, when we look at heterosexism, that isn't something that we can just ignore. That's a division that's created by the bourgeoisie among us, so it's something we need to actively work against. I mean, you can't really have, you know, any functioning proletarian action if you're excluding parts of the proletariat or not addressing their issues.
Right.
So, like, you know, racialized communities, well, we can't just be like, oh, well, you shouldn't be, we're just going to, your workers first and foremost, and that's what's important. Well, no, not for a lot of racialized communities. When we look at things like the First Nations, when we look at things like the Métis, first and foremost for them,
mm-hmm.
Their experience is one of racialization, where they live in a racist system that discriminates against them.
Right. So you think that they have their role in communist politics, these things?
Well, like, do they have their own...
they have their place, these kind of struggles.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Should Quebec secede?
Should Quebec secede? Well, people like to paint me as a Quebec separatist. This is not entirely true. I recognize that Quebec has the right to secede, and I realize that this is strategically useful upon occasion. since there are real inequalities faced by Quebecers. So the issue of, well, should Quebec secede? Well, can these issues be addressed within a united Canada? If the answer is no, then yes, Quebec should secede. At the moment, it appears the answer is no, and so long as that continues to be the answer, then Quebec should secede, yes.
Right. And could you give us a quick sort of highlight of the state of the left in Canada?
State of the left in Canada. Well, the state of the left in Canada is different in different parts of Canada, and Quebec it is very strong. The left has sort of come together in a broad coalition that's being led by socialists that were working within the CSN before. Instead now, but the Quebec Solidaire was founded by Michel Chartron, I think. Anyways, he was something of a socialist that was really active within the labor movement. And this is a really positive development. These are people that are actually gaining political power and have been on the rise in Quebec. Outside of Quebec, things are quite different. In most of the provinces, there's been a shift to the right, especially west of Ontario. In Ontario itself, where I live, political developments have been interesting, to say the least. The labor movement here seems on the verge of splitting from the NDP, because which is like the Ontario Federation of Labor, which is like the local labor federation of all the unions. Normally it backs the NDP, which is the Social Democratic Party, but the NDP has been backing the Liberal Party, which has been pretty determined to hurt on the unions.
Right.
So the unions have kind of formed this extra parliamentary organization called the Ontario Common Front, and it's openly criticizing the NDP, and it's being led by the OFL, which officially supports the NDP. So there's a lot of tension going on right now in this province.
I see. So, aside from that, is there anything else you would like to talk about, or anything that you would like to discuss?
I don't know.
All right. In that case, thanks a lot for your time. It's been a pleasure to get to know you more personally and to know what you sound like. And I'll see you around in Marxism.
All right.
Till next. Bye.